On the cover, Frequency and Alina turn the corner of a school hallway and look out onto a large room full of steampunk robots. In the center of each of the robots' chests is a furnace powering their automaton bodies. They all turn and look to see our two young heroes.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Frequency. Bringing the megahertz.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 80. Hopes Made of Steam. On the first panel of the comic, we see two figures step out of a steam train turned drill. The young boy wears oil-stained pants, a nice button-up vest with a handkerchief around his neck. One of his arms is full of cogs and is clearly some kind of a robot replacement arm. As he is moving out through the main door to the steam train, he tightens one last bolt and his hand extends and flips so that the socket wrench portion of it flips and becomes and the human hand part of it is now in its place. He steps down onto the linoleum floor of the basement of Protean City High School and reaches a hand up, his other hand up to help his sister down. She is in dirty overalls with a nice dress shirt underneath and a lacy cravat. She has shocking red hair held back by goggles that have a whole assortment of magnifying glass, things that could tick down over her eyes. And the two of them step out into the school, followed by a series of these dumpy little steampunk robots. And she turns to him and says, Soon, Sockham, we will find the lab. And when we bring back this alien technology to our father, they will finally let us into the Steam Society for real. And we pull back and get a panel of the two of them, and there are little note boxes underneath that label them, the boy as Sockham Wrench and the girl as Hannah Log. And we're going to cut back to our heroes, Ben and Alina, in the radio lab turned perhaps alien communication center with Dinah, their friend robot. In pitch black still, as the power is still out, and Dinah has just come face to face with Alina before an earthquake hit the room, which the readers know was because of the drill that just punctured into the basement of the school, but our heroes have yet to find that out, and so they continue as we join them again. They are standing across from each other.
I don't have time to play games here. What is going on?
I was trying to send a message. Something went horribly wrong.
Are you causing these tremors?
I don't think so. I'm sending radio frequencies. Radio frequencies don't cause earthquakes, I don't think. Do radio frequencies cause earthquakes on this planet?
I don't know. I'm in summer school. What do you think?
And she looks back and forth between the two of you.
No, radio frequencies don't cause earthquakes.
Okay. All right. Good news is we can trust her. Bad news is...
You hear footsteps clomping outside.
We probably can't trust whoever there is there.
She's going to say, I was trying to send a signal back to the Viscount to report on what had happened last week. But something was intercepting my signal. So I just kept pouring more and more power into it. I think I probably brought the power down in the school. That was probably me. But the earthquakes were definitely not.
All right, so I'm going to ask frequency. What kind of drone do you have? Is there any kind of video?
It's a fancy one. Yes, of course it does.
All right.
You need it too? Yes, of course it does.
Can we do some surveillance with that drone?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so frequency, can you send, what do you call your drone?
I don't name them.
You monster.
I know.
Drone one.
They're expendable.
You monster. Right. Can you send your friend in to see who's out in the hallway?
Of course.
Thank you.
So it's going to, this little drone is going to just sort of pilot itself out into the hallway. And there's like a video feed that gets fed back to like our phones. Like we can,
oh, cool.
We can both see it.
Right. So as you pilot it out into the hallway, it's dark, but so does it have like night vision or something on it so that it can see?
It has that LED light on it.
Okay.
So it will illuminate.
It's panning. It's illuminating the sphere around where it's flying, and it immediately flies over what looks like a kind of like goofy steampunk robot. It's got this bulbous belly. It actually, you can see it has like a furnace with a window and flames, like there's a window in its stomach. And it's just like clunking along slowly past the open door. And you guys can actually probably see it, as it passes by. It doesn't care or notice the drone. But you can, and so would you follow the drone, I guess, or would you follow this robot, or would you go back, like pilot the drone back the way it came?
Is there only one visible robot?
I think that you can see the burning chest cavities of a few more back the direction it came.
Probably not then. I'd probably sort of quickly react, and I mean we're all seeing, you know, there's some coming, but I'd probably be like, yeah, we've definitely got things coming, and not sure if they're friendly or not, but they don't look friendly.
They definitely do not look friendly.
You know what else that they don't look like? They don't look particularly advanced. I think I know what this is.
So you bring where are you sending the drone next? Or are you bringing it back to you?
I guess probably just right back.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So
that we have some light.
Okay. And then what is your plan?
I think we just got to go after them.
Are you going after the drone or the robot that walked past, or are you going back towards the center?
Back towards
where the larger group of them is,
where we heard the voices, because they've been talking.
Yes, they have.
So we're gonna follow them to the source.
Okay
sounds
like a plan. And Dinah is following you. She is interested in, if nothing else, protecting the school for different reasons than why you want to protect it, but similar ends. You move down this hallway towards where you know is the sort of wood shop, metal shop. And because of the type of student who attends Pardon City High School, they have these sort of advanced technical labs to help teach people and train them. And so you see this group of, like, in the distance, you see these like circles with flames in them, which you know are the robots. You can sort of see silhouettes of robots, and they move, like, this group looks one way, that they're looking towards you, Pat, at the robot that just walked past you. They turn around, and another one goes off in another direction, and one of the final two goes back in, and the other one stands guard outside of this room, which you know is metalworking lab, vocational room. So how are you going about? Are you just walking right up to this robot? Are you? You do hear clattering and stuff going on inside this side room. Are you just going to walk right up? Are you going to try to disable the robot from afar? What's your plan?
I'm probably at least trying to check out the robot, but I don't think there's really all too much that I can do to it.
No, probably not. As you sort of extend your senses to it, it's very analog.
Can you disable that thing from here?
I don't think so. It doesn't really seem to be, you know, digital. There's nothing electronic about it.
Okay, but so I'm gonna take a nearby water fountain and guide Dream of Water with telekinesis to extinguish its furnace belly.
Ooh.
Interesting. Okay. I would like you to... Yeah, I'm going to say unleash your powers.
Okay.
This is a little bit of an attack, but these people aren't really a huge threat. What mm-hmm. you're doing here more is trying to overcome an obstacle.
5, 6, 7.
On a 7 to 9, mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary. Describe for me what this looks like as you move this stream of water from the water fountain to the robot.
Well, it's not as pretty as some of the other telekinesis I've been doing. Mm-hmm. Rolled so poorly.
And you kind of have to hold all of the stream.
Yeah. So it's very much kind of like a weird, like there's some, like I'm sort of snaking a stream of water over mm-hmm. and like directing it towards the furnace. But there's a lot of places where I'm just sort of losing
bits and pieces of water.
Yeah, so it's sort of dripping.
Okay, and so when it hits this robot's chest cavity, it doesn't really have... So, like, there is a solid window here. It would need to have, like, a good amount of force to push through the, like, edges of the window to get inside. And so instead what happens is it hits the chest cavity, which is this big window. But instead of pushing through the seams... It's just like this cold water hits the hot glass of the front and it cracks and little bits of the water start to get through the crack. And instead of just like seeping through and extinguishing the flame, it steams up like and just like the whole robot, like every bit and every time there's like a joint or juncture or anything, steam starts pouring out of it. And the robot, you do see the flame is extinguished, but in this like huge plume of smoke around it. And you hear one of the voices from inside the room clearly talking to the other about the fact that the robot by the door just sort of like became a plume of smoke or steam. and so you see it is extinguished. But after a moment, you see a human girl walk over to this robot and step like one step out the outside of the door, because the robot's like right in front of the door. Mm-hmm. And she steps up to it and like starts to like pull at things. And like I think the whole stomach thing rotates around so she can look at the crack parts of the body and what caused this damage to it. And then she like pulls the goggles down over and you see they light up green. And so you can like very clearly now see her eyes. And she flips down a couple like magnifying glasses and she's like looking around up and down the hallway. And if you guys stay standing out in the middle of this hall, she will see you.
I'm going to act quickly and try and clear something.
Okay. Yeah. If you act without talking to your teammates...
Yeah, I'm going to clear insecure. I can clear insecure so I can mark it the next time I fucking fail a roll.
Yeah, it won't happen. You won't clear it until the end of the scene.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
So,
well,
which probably won't be.
All right, well,
the
then.
End of the fight. But at least you'll have done it. So, what are you doing?
I'm just bum rushing her.
Okay. And so you see these like glowing green eyes of her goggles turn and look right at you. And she kind of squints and is like trying to put together why there's a student in like in the school. And by the time she's realized what you're doing, you are on top of her.
Mm-hmm.
So are you trying to attack her? What is your goal here?
You know, much like Wonder Woman, Alina's always identify, incapacitate, restrain.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like you are trying to attack her.
Yes.
So roll to directly engage a threat.
9.
So on a 7 to 9, you get to choose one. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I guess I'm going to have to resist or avoid their blows.
Okay. Describe for me what this attack looks like.
I, you know, take her center of gravity and mm-hmm. I just sort of pin her down.
Mm-hmm.
and say,
so this is like a big like flying leap.
Yes.
Like knees first.
Yes.
Into her chest. Okay.
And so as I've got her pinned, I just say, okay, who are you? What are you doing here? And where did you get those glasses? They're really cute.
You pin her down and her arms kind of like are splayed out to the side. And in one of her hands, you see she has a like a remote of some sort. It's like a big like handheld radio type thing that she had just like pulled off of her belt while you were running at her. And you tell her that you like her glasses and she kind of looks at you. Are you wearing your
mask?
Okay,
yeah.
So you've slapped the mask on, probably yes. Mid-run.
Mm-hmm.
She looks up at this masked girl who has landed on top of her and says, I built them myself. They're wonderful. Just like this. And she presses the button and you hear a like a whirring and off to the side. So now that you have knocked her backwards into this room, you see inside this big wood shop, metal shop room, there are all of these tables and machines around the edge. And in the middle, coming out through one of the walls, is this big drill train where it's like and it's taking up like a huge chunk of the middle of this room now. And there is a door open that is like plopped a ramp down into the center of the room. And as well as this boy, who is her brother, who the readers know is Sockham. There are a handful of other robots around this room, and they have been unloading some other things. One of the things they have unloaded is this kind of like tall, like maybe half human height, rectangular box. And when she presses this button, it's like two spring powered arms pop out, and then it lifts up off the ground. And you can see that it has these two big like spring legs. And this version, it looks vaguely like one of the little dumpier robots, but instead of having the sort of like big round ball-shaped chest with the furnace inside, it has like a more sleek, slender build with like a coiled spring inside. And it stands up and activates and looks right at you and rushes to defend the person who designed it.
Oh, dip.
So, Ben.
Yeah.
Your friend Alina just did a couple weird things.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to shoot some water from a water fountain at a robot.
She did.
Which was more successful than you might have expected.
Yeah.
But less successful than she hoped. And she drew the attention of one of these weird people who have invaded the school. And then instead of stopping to talk to you about what your plan was going to be, which is like normally what Alina does.
It is normally what she does.
She just ran headfirst at this woman and flying leap tackled her.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing?
So I should probably also try and help out in some way with this fight.
Also, flying leap tackling people is kind of your move.
It is kind of my move.
So she's kind of like,
you're stealing my thunder.
Stealing your thing.
But so I'm also going to rush into this fight. I don't know if I can see what's going on because okay. There's so much steam.
Yeah, you probably can't.
But probably the way that you can see this on the page is, you know, we have that shot in the room, the robot busting out of the box. I like to imagine that for at least one panel, it just has its arms and legs yeah. sticking out of the box and then the box falls apart.
Yeah.
But so there's a big cloud of steam still emanating from this first guard robot that we took out. And probably like just I'll show up in like two panels. In the first one, mm-hmm. all of a sudden there's like an opening in the smoke as the drone flies through.
Nice.
Because like all the, you know, the
propellers,
the rotor wash. Yeah. The propellers push all the steam out of the way. And it's got a big spotlight in the front to illuminate the area that we're in. And then flying through the hole after it is just me in like an awkward sort of flying leap position.
Okay.
Probably just yelling like, hi-ya!
Okay. So you land next to Alina.
I was going to say, I'm probably not landing on anyone because I don't know what I'm jumping into.
Yeah, you're just jumping into the room. And so there is your small drone with you. And shortly after, you know that Dinah is behind you.
Yeah.
At this point, I would like to roll our team mechanic because you are entering combat here.
Okay.
Who is the leader?
Me.
Yeah, Alina.
She ran in headfirst. Do you have influence over Ben?
So yes.
Okay. Yes.
So add a team to the pool. What is your purpose in this fight?
To stop these punks.
And is that your purpose too?
Yep. From whatever they're trying to do.
Okay. So add another team to the pool.
Oh, wow.
Do either of you mistrust the leader or the team? I think for the purposes of this, Dinah is going to be with you, but she is not part of your team.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
the team is, the two of you.
Okay.
No, I trust Alina.
I trust Ben.
All right. So do not remove a team.
Okay.
Are you ill prepared or off balance? I think probably.
I want to say yes.
You literally ran blindly into a room.
Correct.
You jumped on a person blindly into a room.
I body surfed into a room blindly.
Yes. So remove one team. So you're down to four team.
Mm-hmm.
You could choose to mark a condition, but probably ill-advised. So remember that you have team to help each other.
Yes. And I have captain now.
Okay, cool. So what does that do?
When you enter battle as a team, add an extra team to the pool and carry +1 forward if you are the leader.
You will get +1 to the next roll that you do, and you have 5 team. So we get this shot of Alina is still pinning Hannah Log to the ground, but there is a semi-advanced spring-based robot running towards you. And this is the scene that you see, Ben, as you enter through the smoke. I think that the first thing we have to deal with is this robot that's running to attack Alina.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you responding to this attack? Are you trying to get out of the way? Are you trying to shift your focus to attack this robot? Or I guess, Ben, would you act to defend Alina?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So maybe we do this as a defend. So when you defend someone or something from an immediate threat, roll plus savior.
I am insecure, so I do have a -2. But as I land in, I'm always just like, why? Why do I keep doing this to myself?
Whoa.
So I rolled a 3 on the dice.
Okay.
+3 for my savior brings it up to a 6.
Okay.
And then -2 for being insecure. So that's a 4.
Okay. So how do you, what does this defend look like? How are you defending her?
It's probably, since there's a very small window of time, I'm probably just throwing myself
in front of said robot. So this robot is, it's running towards you, and it's taking like longer and longer strides across this room, and when it gets maybe 2 or 3 strides away, instead of its normal like run, it crouches, and you can see the springs in its legs compress, and then they all release, and it just leaps forward like robot hands with clamps outstretched towards Alina. You instinctively go to defend your friend, throw yourself in front of her, and
also the floor is all wet.
And the floor is all wet.
It's super steamy. You can't see anything.
Someone put water all over the floor. And so this robot, instead of tackling Alina, tackles you and slams you into the wall next to the doorway. And I would like you to take a powerful blow.
Okay. I have 4 conditions marked. So, oh, wonderful. I rolled an 11. No, sorry. I rolled a 7.
Okay.
+4 makes it 11.
All right. So, on a 10+, choose 1. You must remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out, lose control of your powers in a terrible way, or choose 2 from the 7 and 9 list.
I think I want to lose control of my powers in a terrible way.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
You are hit by this robot, and you instinctively so this hurts. This hurts a lot. This robot mm-hmm. has just grabbed you, and that impact alone is pretty bad. And then it slams you into a wall. And I think that correct me if I'm wrong, but this feels like your instinctive thing to do is like reach out to find technology to control.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for you, there really isn't a whole lot of technology because the power is out.
Yep.
The one piece of, and these drones or these robots are, and these robots are not really technologically advanced enough to be something that your powers can control.
Yeah.
But you do have a drone. And so I think what happens is you just sort of like instinctively reach out to control the drone. And what happens is it starts to project illusions and holograms around this room, And so there's like a moment where it looks like the spring robot tackles a version of you into like 8 or 9 places in the room. And then there are like, the room is just filled wall to wall with robots. And then that flickers out and there's a couple different versions of the steampunk kids. And then it like you fill the room with an illusion of steam and it's just like cycling through, like you can't decide which illusion you think is going to help. And so the robot, the little drone is like overloading and it's just like throwing up lights and illusions and things. And it's not really helping. Like people start disappearing as you place illusions of the empty room over them. Everything starts flickering in and out. And then it stops and this drone is projecting the blueprints of the school that you had downloaded last week, big into the center of the room, and it rotates. And this is not the version of the blueprints that you had grabbed from the town hall. This is the blueprints. This is the version of the blueprints that you had been updating that includes the location of the secret lab.
Of course it is.
And
because that's an excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you've been trying to take notes and figure out how big this thing
exactly.
is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately is being projected right next to Sockham, the young boy. And he kind of cocks his head and reaches out into this hologram and puts his robot arm and puts it right in the middle and like puts his hand. He reaches out and puts the robot hand under where the lab is, and then he closes his robot fist and says, "Ah, there it is." And he is going to turn to maybe 3 or 4 of the dumpier kind of round robots and point them towards Alina and the doorway and command them and say, "Free my sister. It's time for us to go to find the lab now that we know its location." And so Alina, you have pinned this girl and she activated a spring powered robot which attacked you, and in the last moment, when you were convinced this thing was going to just freight train into you, Frequency threw himself in front of you and defended you.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now pinned up against the wall, and you've seen the rest of this all play out. There are 3 or 4 robots coming at you. What are you doing?
Okay. I drag her up off the floor, and I get an arm around her neck and say, "Call him off."
And
my arm tightens around her again as she hesitates, and I say, "Call him off now." Am I trying to provoke them? Fuck.
Yeah, I think you're trying to provoke her.
Fuck. Why did I do this?
She's because I think what she turns to you and says, "Why would I call off the robots who are coming to rescue me? I'm sure I can hold off against you for a few seconds more. There are 3 or 4 robots coming to attack you." And she has her other robot pinning Frequency to the wall. Why would she let him go when these other robots are just going to come and defeat you in a few seconds?
Okay.
If you would like to provoke her, you need to roll.
Plus superior's 2, but guilty is -2.
Okay. That's 7. So on a 7 to 9, they can instead choose 1. They stumble and you take a +1 forward against them.
Oh no, you also have a +1.
Okay, so that is
8.
Ben could help but get it to a 9.
I mean, I could help.
Okay.
I just don't know I don't want to say if you'd let me. I don't mean it like that, but I'm not sure if I'm in a position.
Do you have a thing to
If I help through destructive, criminal, or rule breaking actions, I can give a +2 instead of a +1.
Okay. Alina is trying to tell this girl to call off her robots, one of which is specifically pinning you to a wall. How could you help in a rule-breaking, destructive way or whatever?
I'm thinking more destructive.
Okay.
So I'm thinking I could either use the drone or I could try and use Dinah. But I don't know. I feel like using Dinah, we've established that I'm not allowed to. Like, I'm blocked out of everything. So yeah. I don't think I'd suddenly be
able
to do that.
But you could. I think that if you... Because Dinah lives in this weird place where she's sort of on your team, but she's sort of not. But mm-hmm. she definitely has your shared goal of stopping these people from getting to the lab.
Yeah.
And she is just outside the door waiting, basically trying to stop anyone else from exiting. So if you could call out to her and point out some obvious thing that she could go in and break in a destructive way, and not, it would have to be not destructive of like their train, but like destructive of the school.
Okay.
In some way, then she'll do that. And I would allow that to count.
Okay.
So what is a thing that Dinah could do that is destructive but helpful?
Could I have her just burst through the wall next to me to where this robot, like, just smashing a huge hole in this wall and coming in and at least knocking that robot off balance or something? I am asking for her help, but I'm not yelling it out. It's definitely through, like, a... you know, technical communication sort of way.
She's a robot.
Yeah. And it's very much, it's not necessarily that I'm asking for help, but more of a like plea for help in like an accusing way.
She's stayed out of this fight so far.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so you, I'm imagining also are basically trying to instruct her what to do to be effective here.
Yeah. And it's enough, you know, it's kind of just relaying a message. It's, you know, a digital thing where, like, as soon as she gets it, she understands it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically saying, like, hey, I accidentally I gave away the position of the lab. I'm pinned up against a wall. We're fighting this fight. You're supposed to be...
helping.
Well, you're supposed to be defending this lab, and we're the ones doing it.
Okay. You feel the wall behind you start to, like, vibrate a little bit, and you hear this, like, charging sound of this, like... and then it just goes... and... the wall next to you, like a huge chunk of this wall, like two normal doors worth, is just blown out and into this room. And through this doorway next to you, Dinah steps in. Her hands are like, they are her. She had like each of her fingers has like broken off into a couple different fingers, and they've like they have webbing between them, and so her hands together have like formed a satellite, like either a dish or like the inner workings of a speaker. Mm-hmm. So she has just like sound blasted through this wall, and she steps in and poses this like destructive, menacing, and much higher tech version robot than what the Steam Society folks have brought with you.
Gotcha.
And so I will allow that to count as an assisting through destructive means. Because you could have said, hey, come through the door and help us. But instead you were like, this will be the most effective, burst through this fucking wall. Yeah. So you get to add two to Alina's role.
Correct.
By spending
a team from the pool, okay. But it gives you a +2.
Okay. So you had rolled a 7, mm-hmm. plus your 1 forward mm-hmm. to 8, and then +2 is 10. So, okay. When you provoke someone susceptible to your words, say what you're trying to get them to do, which was getting her to call off her robot.
Mm-hmm.
On a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want. So she kind of like, you've got your arm around her neck, and she was kind of looking smug because there were these like 3 bigger robots marching straight towards you, but now like there's a huge chunk of the wall missing. She's eyeing that robot, she's eyeing your friend, and she is just gonna kind of like croak through your arm around her neck and just be like, call him off, let him go, Springs, back off. And the robot that has you pinned against the wall, Ben, it like sort of retracts its spring powered arms and steps backwards a couple steps until it meets the other robots that are that were marching towards you, and they also stop. And the boy who is standing in the middle of the room walks up next to them and kind of like jauntily leans on one of the furnace robots and says, "Now, sister, you're not having second thoughts, are you? Surely we can defeat these two children." Which is weird because he's not that much older than you. He's probably younger than you, honestly. and their robot doesn't look that powerful. And she kind of just gives him this like pleading look of like, please help me. This girl's crazy and she has her arm around my neck.
Mm-hmm.
You are facing off against each other. Ben, like, I guess, what are you doing as you are released from being pinned against this wall?
I'm trying to think if I want to run over towards Alina or towards Dinah. I'm in between the two of them.
Okay.
But I'm standing up and trying to strike a semblance of a heroic pose.
Okay.
Probably. So like my hood's probably up and I've got like plaster on my shoulder. Part of my hoodie's probably ripped, but I'm trying to look tough and composed.
Okay. This boy, Sockham, he is going to eye all of you as you sort of strike hero poses. And you still have his sister, Alina.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to stand up from where he's been leaning against one of these furnace robots. And he kind of like his hand spins out and flips over to the wrench version. And he kind of like reaches up and grabs the like top hat he's been wearing. And he says, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Sockham Wrench of soon to be of the Steam Society. Perhaps we could find some kind of a deal we could come to where you could give my sister back to me and we could pillage the school of alien technology to remove the dangerous equipment from under the place where I presume you go to school. Certainly that's must be in your best interests.
As of right now, it seems like the biggest threat to our school is the two of you.
And your giant drill train.
Yeah, and your robots also.
He smiles and looks back at the train. He's like, "Oh, do you like the drill train? It's my best creation."
Yeah, no, I haven't really been a big fan of trains of late.
But there's no need for us to do any more damage to your school. We needed to get into the basement of the school to be closer to the lab. We thought actually we were going to be coming up into the lab, but it seems that we missed. But you've shown us where the lab is. We don't have to cause any more damage to the school. We can simply go get the technology we came here to look for and retreat. No more fighting, no more damaging people, no more blowing through walls. None of that is necessary. And we'll just remove dangerous technology from your school.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't know. I say we let him take it.
Dinah is going to...
punch me in the face?
Not punch you in the face, but flare like the light and kind of like there's like a pressure of sound that like builds around her as she sort of like hums because she is a speaker robot and she steps forward and is going to say, no, you can't have the lab. And she turns to you, Alina, and says, you're not serious. You're not going to let them take the lab. I thought we were on the same side.
Yes, I remind me to teach you about sarcasm. I forget that I'm not supposed to be facetious around robots.
And then the boy is going to say, can't you at least let my sister go? We can speak like civil people here. There's no reason for you to have your arm around her neck.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to release your sister into the custody of the Protean City Police. I don't know why you think your Steam loser friends are going to be able to do anything with this advanced technology. You can't even make a pocket watch run on time unless you're, you know, of course, standing on it.
He reaches down to his hand flips back to being the hand version of itself, like the wrench part flips back into his arm, and mm-hmm. he reaches down into his pocket and pulls out a pocket watch, and he kind of looks at it and he goes, he's just like kind of just looking at it like obviously I made this pocket watch work, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. And he says, he puts the pocket watch away and says, well, I thought we could do this the civil way, but if you refuse to see reason, then we will have to do this the hard way. And he gestures with his non-robotic hand to the robots, and they start to move forward towards you.
Mm-hmm. I'm running.
Are you letting go of his sister?
How much could I get away with running with her over my shoulder?
If your goal is to run,
mm-hmm.
to clear a condition.
No.
Then you're not trying to do that?
I'm just trying to lead him out of here.
Okay. If you're not trying to do that, you're just trying to lead him away,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, I think you can grab her and throw her up over your shoulder and...
Like a continental soldier.
And kind of using, like, you're a pretty pretty fit person. You do a lot of strength training, and you have some telekinesis to help balance her and stuff. So if you want to turn and run, again, without any conversation with your friends, then yeah, absolutely, you can do that.
Okay.
Ben, for the second time today,
Elena has
your one and only teammate and leader, in theory, of this team,
yeah.
has taken a random girl and run away. She didn't run away with her last time. She just ran into combat.
Yeah.
Now she's abandoning you.
Yeah.
So you and Dinah are standing off against three, let's say there's four of these kind of like big robots.
What is Sockham and Springs, or I should say, what are Sockham and Springs doing?
Springs is standing with the group of robots. Springs is kind of eyeing Dinah more specifically. Springs is more of a robot on Dinah's like scale of technology. They are more equally classed to each other. The other four kind of like dumpier robots are just more, they're treading slowly. They have to like wobble back and forth. They're really not well designed. But they are coming towards you and they have big clamp hands. I think one has, so two of them have big clamp hands. One of them has like buzz saw hands.
Ugh.
And then one has a regular clamp hand and a drill hand. And so they are moving towards you specifically and where Alina was. And Sockham is standing back and just kind of watching to see what happens here. Like, he doesn't need to get into the fight.
So since we're in, you know, this, you know, woodshop metalworking thing, I'm probably going to try and reach probably somewhere near. There's got to be some kind of large just wrench or large metal pipe or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to grab... You know, the nearest large metal object that I can. Okay, it's probably a wrench. I want it to be a wrench.
It's okay.
Better. And I'm probably just gonna charge towards the robots.
Okay. Roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay. So hopefully this works out. Well, I am afraid. So I rolled a 9.
Okay.
But that is plus danger, which is a 0 for me.
So
it's a 7. Yeah.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9. You can pick one, resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten them.
Since Alina kind of pulled one of my moves earlier and just sort of leapt through the air and grabbed her.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull an Alina move.
Ooh.
Because, you know, everything's all wet and steamy and slippery.
Wet and steamy.
I'm probably going to try and like slide across the floor as I get towards them and sweep the leg with the wrench.
Okay.
I think I'm going to then avoid their blows.
Okay.
Because they're not very quick. They don't have good reflexes. They weren't expecting me to do that.
So you dive and slide on the wet floor and just like swing this heavy wrench against these kind of like short, stumpy legs that these robots have. And they don't really even like, I want to say they don't even really have knees.
Yeah.
And so they kind of have to like really wobble back and forth as they walk. And you have just timed this perfectly so that you sweep the leg and...
I picture they all like fall on their like fronts or their backs.
Yeah, they fall...
Maybe on the front and there's the flat part of the glass that they're now stuck on.
Yeah.
And it's like an upside down turtle, but
they
can't get themselves back up.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's so good. And so they're definitely like... One of them hits, and I think both of its arm, like the saw blade guy, when it falls forward, it hits, and like the force of the impact like pops both of the saw blade arms off, and so it's just kind of like rolling, and it doesn't have arms to help itself. Two of the others, with the regular clamp arms, like fall towards each other and then slide down onto their backs, but they've like hit each other, so their arms are kind of like the one drill, like it was the drill arm one actually like punctures the body of the other. And these things are really just like a mess. And you've basically been able to like with one swipe of a wrench, take out like these robots.
Nice.
So, let's see. So Alina is gone running out somewhere. And then to sort of recap where we are, you've really got Springs and now Sockham, who is, he is, He stands up from where he was leaning against the train, waiting for the robots to do his dirty work for him. And he kind of like, he taps his arm, his robot hand against his knee, and it flips around to the wrench version of his arm. And he looks at his hand and he looks at the wrench in your hand. And he is going to like square off against you. And begin to sort of like almost in a like a faux fencer stance, but with his arm wrench.
Okay.
Begin to move forward towards you.
All right. So I've already I'm running.
Yes.
And halfway through to my goal, I realize that I have not told anybody my plan.
Yeah.
I just have been just something weird lately. Like there's just been sort of like these moments where my memory gets kind of like foggy and hazy and yeah. I just, it's very strange. Forget that I'm fighting with a team or yeah. whatever. And so I use our special text to talk mechanism and say, hey, I think I have a plan to stop these guys in their tracks, but I need you to get them to follow me. I'm headed towards the football stadium.
Okay. Unfortunately, as unhonorable as it is, Frequency's entire fighting skills are kind of playing dirty and tricking people.
Yeah.
So I think what I want to do is try and like throw down just a whole bunch of illusions.
Okay.
Of not a whole, I mean, maybe three or four, but of me running in different directions around the room.
Okay.
And what I'll really try to do is run around, slip past him, and get to the drill train.
Okay. All right. So let's do this.
That probably triggers one of my moves.
It does, yes.
Yeah.
You are trying to distract, trick, or whatever, mislead someone.
Correct.
So how does that move work?
Whenever I do that, I roll plus superior.
Okay.
On a hit, they're fooled, at least for a moment. And then on a 10 plus, I choose 3. On a 7 to 9, I choose 2 from okay. a list of things.
So why don't you roll?
I rolled a 10, superior is 3, ooh. So a 13.
Okay.
Nice.
Do you get to choose 3 things?
Yep. I'm going to choose, I get an opportunity.
Okay.
Hopefully that would possibly be my opportunity to run by him.
Okay.
I expose a weakness or flaw, and I confuse them for some time.
Here's your opportunity. You run, so you're able to, yeah, you create all of these illusions. And he starts to like spin and turn around and look. He can't tell which one is the real one. Mm-hmm. You maybe even like leave an exact duplicate of where you were. So he thinks he's facing off against someone, but he goes to swing his wrench hand and it just passes through.
Yep.
And so he's gonna be confused for a moment, and you're gonna have an ability to get through to this train. When you get inside, you are going to discover that they did not really turn it off.
Okay.
And so,
as kids do,
like he put it into park, but he left the keys in and mm-hmm. he left the engine running. And so you're not going to have to like spend a moment to figure out how to turn it on.
Yeah.
And I've
had experience with steampunk society trains
before. Yes. So it's going to be pretty easy for you to drive this thing.
Okay.
To avoid further entanglement. I think that
I did not.
You didn't
choose
that. You did choose. You confused them. You exposed a weakness or flaw. So once you get, so another thing that you discover when you get inside this train is that they, so there's like a big, so there's like, there are some benches where they can sit and there's like some, a couple nice seats mm-hmm. where like people would sit inside this train. And then there are these big like ball shaped imprints on the side of the wall where like the robots would connect, and they have like tubes that run and would dispense more coal to each of the robots. And then there's also the big furnace in the front of the train. And so there is a big coal hopper that is what like where they store all of the stuff that powers the train and the robots. And so there's a couple things that you're going to notice. There are a couple more robots in this car, but they, which is something you maybe suspected because this is a big train, but they don't have any coal in them. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the coal hopper is pretty much empty. It looks a lot like they had a specific amount of coal. Like, they didn't come into this mission fully coaled up. They had, like, maybe they snuck out to try to do this without really taking a full supply because they didn't want people to notice it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that, like, they're not going to be able to keep this up forever and just keep throwing robots at you like you had maybe feared. They are going to run out of power pretty quickly.
Okay.
You reactivate the drill.
Reactivate the drill. They've already got, you know, a whole big thing drilled out. So just trying to, like, throw it in reverse, get okay. down. I'm assuming there's probably a drill on either end.
Yeah.
So you could just, you don't have to, because if it's a train, you can't just, you know, do it.
And also they have a tunnel there so that you can back up.
Yeah. I'm just going to pull steam ahead. I actually probably yell that because I want, well, I don't want them to just keep fighting and then realize I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think once I'm on the train and have control, I probably just yell out, like, full steam ahead, loser. Yeah.
We get, like, one panel of you, like, leaning out the window, pulling the horn.
Yep.
And
I like this plan.
So you have a, is your goal now to get to the football field?
Yeah.
Because you also have a rough idea of where you are. You know the school pretty well. You also have a blueprints.
Yeah.
And so you are able to drive this. So, okay, let's cut back to Alina.
Mm-hmm.
What is your plan? You're dragging this lady up to the football field?
Yes. There is a pretty big water tower right next to the football field.
Yeah.
And I have been able to make the giant fire hose size hookup work. And so I've got it poised for once they enter the field, I will be able to cool them down quite promptly.
Yeah. I actually imagine that, like, this water tower is, so you know that there's a big water tower full of a lot of water, and I bet that Alina knows that, like, there's going to be fire villains, there's going to be metal villains. Like, I bet you've got this thing pre-set up so that you can, like, hit a switch and divert the flow of water into some way that you can use it to attack.
Yes.
So we get a scene of you, and you're still dragging Hannah with you.
Yeah.
What do you do with her when you get to this water tower?
I've locked her in the announcer booth.
Okay.
I like it.
So she's locked away. Okay. So you're able to, you probably run out through the school. We see, okay, so here's how this probably plays out. We see you leave the, like, so you've run up the stairs through this darkened school and out onto, there's like a raised place, which has like the concession booth and the announcement center and stuff. And then it looks down over a recessed football field. And so you're able to kind of quickly, you have keys to every room in the school, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Unlock the announcer's booth, throw her, like, toss her in quickly and lock it, and then run away. And, like, there's only the one door, it locks. And so you're able to, like, she's going to be there. So then you run down to the football field where beyond one of the big goalposts is this big water tower. And it has the big Protean City High School logo on it. And there's like two panels of you, like, pulling a lever to prepare to divert the water, and then waiting and waiting and waiting. And then we see a panel of, like, a full page panel of the football field, and this big drill train, like, launches almost vertical up out of the dirt underneath and slams down onto the football field. And we punch in and we see Frequency kind of leaning his head out the window and, like, waving his arms, and he's very excited. So what do you do?
I motion for him to get out of the way.
Okay.
I get out of the way.
Okay, excellent.
Do you take Dinah with you?
Well, Dinah is not with.
Okay.
Dinah is still back fighting Springs.
Okay.
And presumably is going to win. So your goal, now you're trying to destroy or rust out this train by throwing water at it.
Mm-hmm.
So just describe what that looks like.
Okay. So she's actually,
this is pretty much the same maneuver you did with the water fountain too.
Except there's more water
pressure.
Water pressure. behind it. So I've had the hookup of the fire hose to the water tower for like a while. So I snaked it all the way down to the field. I thought that they would be coming through, you know, the locker room, but mm-hmm. you know, of course not. I quickly look back towards where the little water lever mm-hmm. is and flick it open with my mind.
Cool.
And the water just starts rushing and filling the hose and sort of like it's sort of it's just the material of the hose is expanding.
Yeah, we see a series of panels going yeah. downstairs and into the onto the football field.
Yeah, and it's like it's passing like abandoned pennants and like gum underneath the bleachers. There's a errant pom pom.
Yep.
And then it just bursts through the nozzle, and I just like I have to use my telekinesis as a sort of stabilizing thing yeah. because it has it's actually lifted me up off the ground. So I'm sort of more like riding a very weird snake rodeo yeah. that is than trying to guide the water, direct the spray towards the train.
Okay. And I think that it hits it, and as you frequency are diving out of this train.
Oh, I probably get hit with some water for sure.
You're definitely getting hit with a little bit of water.
Oh yeah.
I actually think it's less that you're getting hit with the water and more that the train is getting hit with the water. And the train is like the drill is hot, the engine is hot, and so it all just like bursts into steam. And so I think we see like you running and we see the train behind you, and then the next panel is this steam explosion, and you're just like thrown and tumbled a little bit through the steam. And you don't look back at the steam explosion?
No.
And the whole, like, mechanism of the drill, which is still sort of slowly moving, grinds to a halt, and you can see that the fire in the engine is extinguished, and the whole thing, every piece of, like, there's, like, because it's steampunk stuff, so there's whirring cogs and spinning things, and just different machinery that's always moving, and it all just like slowly whirs to a stop and locks up, and it's just soaking wet and becomes non-functional. And then there's a beat and a moment, and we get a panel of the opening of the hole of like the tunnel that the steam train. Or that the train drill had come up through, and then out of the darkness we see Sokka just kind of like running and huffing and puffing, and he gets to the top of the tunnel, and he's just kind of got both his hands on his knees, and he's just looking up, and there is his beautiful train just like covered in water and not running, and he's just like kind of collapses down onto his knees. And he just kind of like goes, he just like puts his head in his hands and is just like filled with sorrow that you have destroyed this thing that he spent his life's work on. I think the police show up. Mm-hmm. I think that like, because you're now outside, and so you can hear hear fire engines and sirens whirring through the city. Mm-hmm. As really like there were some not insignificant earthquakes through the city today due to the strange drilling that these folks did. You start to hear the police coming towards you, and seeing a big steam cloud in the middle of the football field, all of the police officers arrive and start to sort of like take control of the situation. Should
we get back to the classroom?
Yeah, I guess that's a good question. Would you guys, seeing that the police officers were showing up, would you stay here to make sure these kids don't run away? Like, the girl is locked up, but Sokka is just, like, in despair on the field. Or would you run away to avoid police entanglement?
Run away.
I think I would run away.
Okay. Yeah.
Back down the tunnel.
Back down the tunnel? Are you following him down the tunnel, or are you going a different way?
I'm rolling my eyes, but I'll follow him back down the tunnel.
Okay. Reasonably certain that the police can handle this. You leave Sokka and Hannah upstairs or on the football field. their train drill mostly destroyed. When you get down to the vocational room, the wood shop room, metal shop room, you see where Dinah has like literally tied the spring arms and legs of the spring robot into knots and has it like on the ground, defeated. The rest of the robots are still kind of like wobbling and rolling, but again, they're defeated. So where is your end goal inside the school? Are you trying to get back to a classroom? Where would you go to celebrate that the fact that you have for a second time in 2 weeks successfully avoided summer school classes and defended the school against some villains?
Well, I mean, I don't really want to stick around anywhere downstairs where there's all the destruction, because we'll also then be asked what the heck is going on.
I think also as you get back into the school, the lights and the power starts coming back on.
Okay.
I
would go to one of two places. I'd either want to go back to the classroom,
because
I don't want to get in trouble for not being there, even though we're just sitting around watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could go back to your office.
Okay.
I would like to, if possible, if it's a thing that you're interested in, hit that celebration move.
Okay.
Just because.
And I want Dinah to be around.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can grab Dinah with you.
I think we probably won't be able to celebrate if we're in a classroom. So let's go back to my office.
Okay.
So we have slid through to the basement and we see Dinah, and we hear, you know, shuffling and, you know, adult voices now mixed in with confused teen voices, look at each other and just go, my office. And so we go and
I turn to Dinah and I say, the janitor's closet in A-Wing.
and she kind of nods. And also, I think at this point, like pulls herself together and starts to like, so all the different chunks of her face connect back, and she just looks like a regular human kid again. And she follows you to the closet.
So I've got some priest sons.
What?
I've got a cooler that, you know, I have appropriated for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grab a pouch and throw it to Frequency of Capri Sun. And then I go to throw one to Dinah and go, wait, do you consume juice?
I think she's going to look at you and say, I can try.
Yeah.
And she'll take the Capri Sun.
We're all sitting on milk crates.
With cushions.
With cushions.
With cushions.
Hearing police sounds and stuff going on in the hallway outside.
That was great driving. Honestly, didn't expect the whole train to come, but was probably for the best.
I mean, most of the tunnel was already dug. I just kind of turned it up to max and it just kind of went. Honestly, I was kind of aiming for one of the locker rooms or the tunnels. I didn't think I'd come out and... Is it called center field? Is that what that's called?
I don't really pay attention to baseball.
Yeah, center field of the football thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so Dinah, you said you were trying to use the radio lab to... Wait, before I even ask that, you were able to take the radio lab and turn it into a functioning broadcast center.
All it needed to do was be connected to the satellites on the... on the roof of the school.
You know, that makes sense. I don't know. I never...
I mean, I had to run the cables manually, which wasn't easy, but...
Who were you contacting?
Viscount Alfred, of course.
Right. Yeah.
The one who left me here. The owner of the lab.
We gotta find out more about this Alfred guy, because if he's not coming back to get his stuff...
Yeah, it
seems... We gotta figure out a better place to...
I'm sure he'll come back. He wouldn't leave me here.
And then we look at each other like behind her back and go, oh no. Yeah, I'm sure that's probably the case.
Yeah. But these broadcasts you were doing, I've got to, is there any chance that they could, you know, produce, you know, some high intensity, high frequency things that people might be sensitive to in some way?
And she like kind of looks like she hadn't really considered that. And she says, oh, well, I guess a command beam broadcast would, I mean, it required a lot of power. I guess it could have unexpected side effects.
Okay, good. Just, there's, you know, there were a few of us up here. We were noticing it, and you know, I just wanted to make sure that was you and not someone else trying to break into the lab or anything.
No.
But like, if you need help with anything, like, I'm sure you know by now, I'm good with tech stuff. If you need help with anything.
Not having to run the signal through the whole school would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably help out.
Maybe we can set up a broadcast center on the roof of the school. That would make it a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I could probably help with that.
Well, thank you.
I'm already texting Sage. Like, OMG, you can't even believe what's happening with Ben.
And she's just going to say, thank you both for helping me defend the lab again. I mean, the school and the lab.
Well, I mean, your lab is our school, so seemed like in our mutual best interest.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to help, but you know, you could ask if you need help. But we took care of those two. And I guess we won.
Yeah. And she's going to take the straw of the Capri Sun and just like stick it right in the side, probably straight through, and then like
straight through both sides.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then like try to drink out of it and like dribble all over herself. She doesn't really understand Capri Sun.
Have we awkwardly hit the triumphant celebration or not really?
I think you have. I mean, I think the Capri Sun alone
seemed
like a celebration. So what happens when you guys celebrate?
When I share a triumphant celebration with someone, I ask them if they think I'm cool. If they say yes, I give them influence and take influence over them. If they say no, I mark a condition or spurn them immediately.
Oh, no. So who are you asking?
Problem is, if they're a teammate, either way, I add a team to the pool.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to ask Dinah.
Okay.
Like, but like since we're talking about, like, right? Like I used my powers. You kind of saw them.
And she is going to, she knows your real name, right? She's going to say, yes, Ben, we made a good team today. It was very productive.
Yeah.
And I think she's saying, yeah, like that's,
do you think I'm cool?
I am not deeply versed in what is interesting for teenagers, but I think that in my data banks you are cool.
Okay. I think you're pretty cool too.
Thank you.
So that exchanges influence.
When you share triumphant celebration with someone, ask them if you've been a good leader or effective teammate. If they say yes, your mentor loses influence over you and mark potential. If they say no, your mentor gains influence over you and you take +1 forward using the label your mentor embodies. So I think after Frequency has shown Dinah how to properly spike a Capri Sun's pouch, he comes over to me, who I've been watching the whole exchange from my overturned milk carton, and I just say, hey, I really appreciate the backup.
Oh, yeah, of course. I appreciate you, you know, calling out a play there, I think the jocks call it. I mean, I'm always ready to fight, but I just sometimes don't know what to do, so.
Yeah.
But you do. You make a great leader.
So I think he's saying yes. Because you don't need to literally ask him.
Yes.
But you got there. And so your mentor will lose influence over you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will mark potential.
Hooray.
I think, did the acid already not have influence over you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you've moved a little bit away. So, okay. So we get a couple final scenes of... in this panel, we get a couple final panels of you maybe all like cheersing with the Capri Sun, and having a little bit of a celebration in this closet office.
Dinah is definitely like holding the pouch with her hand, and like two of the small little phalanges from her fingers are like blocking the two holes that she made earlier.
Yeah. And we see a couple panels of the asset in your secret base, trying to like get power going again, and he turns the power back on, and we see that there's a crack running through the concrete in the base, but it hasn't done the like fault line thing. It just looks like it's a little bit damaged, and he just kind of like he sighs and sits down, and everything is like not so bad. And we see a couple panels of the police taking Hannah Log out of the announcer booth in handcuffs and putting her into a cop car, and she's kind of looking around, but her brother Sockham Wrench is not anywhere to be seen. But then the police have like they have police. We see I think we see a final. On the final page, we see a panel of police tape around the train and the big hole to prevent everyone. And although one of the two STEAM kids has escaped, things are pretty good in Protean City. You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio form to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few with each issue and a response from our editors. Joshua writes, "Can we get more about Blitz? What did Windshear do to her? What happened? Where did she go?" Well, Joshua, we will almost certainly see more of Blitz in the future. I don't quite remember how much we've revealed of the story, but nevertheless, when she needed him the most, he wasn't there for her, and it scarred her in a way that made her put down the mask. Since then, she's been hiding out, living her life, laying low. And then we've seen her building a relationship and a friendship and maybe more with Timeline and starting to feel that pull to fight crime and do the right thing again. So I'm sure we'll see her continuing to do more and we'll probably dig more into the relationship between her and Windshear. Thanks for writing in.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter @HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter @RHarvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter @ProteanCity and on Instagram @ProteanCityComics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.